This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With all due respect.
Yeah, he dropped an all due respect in there. Let's say whatever I want, and then with all due respect.
I don't care what you think. And he shouldn't run the team based on what the headline writers or the talking heads have to say. But I thought Steve came out swinging yesterday. I thought there was a defiant tone the entire way. And defiant from a media standpoint, well, that's interesting. There's some juice there, right? Some little subtle shots at the players and the fact that they didn't perform. Defiant in that, you know, he's comfortable with what they did at the deadline. Comfortable with sticking to the plan. Defiant's interesting if you're in the media. But if you're a fan, sticking to the course and justifying everything you've done, miss me with that. I did not like the press conference yesterday if I'm a fan of this hockey team. And we'll roll out the red carpet and let you guys weigh in. But hearing stay the course is a really tough listen.
It is, because it's been such a long course. And it goes back to even before Yzerman was here. But since he's been here and we bought into the Yzer plan, what's the end goal? When is that goal supposed to be reached? Like, we all want to have, that's the importance of setting goals. And I know that, yes, he has this goal of reaching the playoffs and building a team that doesn't just get to the playoffs, but eventually competes year in, year out for a Stanley Cup. But you've got to do it in a timely fashion. And the fans have been very patient.
More than patient. Look, when he says the goal was to compete for the playoffs, and we did. Great. You met your own low bar. John, I hope we're one of the 50 best radio shows in the city. I mean, if you set the bar low enough, you can achieve the goal. You strive for more. And I wish I would have heard a general manager more urgently striving for more, not defiantly defending what he's done so far. That's what bothered me most.
Well, I think I said this last year. I said at the beginning of the season. It's, you just want to feel as a fan that the general manager or the franchise itself has the same sense of urgency that you do. And we're not talking about 6 years ago, but I think Red Wings fans understood it was going to take some time.
You listened to the press conference live on the station.
Yeah.
I was listening to the station too, and Mike Errico dumped out of it. And one of the first takeaways they had was he sounds like a guy with a lifetime contract. I can't fight that allegation.
No.
He speaks like a man who has a lifetime contract. I don't like that as a concept. I think you should always be trying to justify the position you're in with results and not promises. Because this is a stretch now of consistent losing. And he said he is concerned about that and that becoming culture, but also said, well, this is what a rebuild is. And it's like, you know what, dude? With all due respect... We know what a rebuild should look like. We can watch rebuilds with every other team in the city, with the other teams in hockey. You're being lapped by teams in your own division. With all due respect, deliver results.
Yeah.
And you should be held to that. And I don't care that your last name's Yzerman. Yzerman, the player, has to be separated from Yzerman, the general manager.
Yeah. When he threw out there, well, there were two other teams that didn't make moves at the trade deadline, and they made the playoffs. Like, I think he was using that as, you know, a positive that, like, they could have or should have, maybe started on the players. And I think we actually have that.
Let's play that one. The audio. I may even grant him that point, but I just, John, there's a reflex that I have when I hear him talk now where everything is a justification for how he's done this, right? Well, I shouldn't have added and couldn't have added. And the players should have just made the playoffs on their own because I built such a good team and it's their fault for being lousy and not winning. Steve, maybe you didn't put the right mix.
Yeah.
Like when Stoney asked him about pro scouting. And he goes, well, you know, it's been a mixed bag. Some of the short-term deals have been good. The inference there is the long-term deals haven't been. says we're going to have to be choosier with some of these deals. Well, boy, I love hearing that with a bunch of cap space, that you guys are going to be cautious in free agency was the inference there. And then he admitted that this pro scouting staff is like learning on the job. Steve, this isn't minor league hockey.
Yeah.
This isn't a minor league organization. This is the Detroit Red Wings. Let's not be figuring it out on the fly.
And it's a very passionate fan base. And so yesterday, I know a lot of people, because we had talked about it, we told everybody, hey, 2 o'clock, this one's going to happen. I know Doug and Gator did the same thing. Hey, 2 o'clock. Mike and Rico opened the show. In moments, we're going to have Steve Yzerman. When you heard Steve Yzerman talk, what type of emotions did you feel in that moment? How did you respond? And now, since you've had a night to sleep on it, how do you feel about what you heard yesterday from Steve Yzerman? I want to know from fans, what are you thinking this morning?
We'll get the phone calls in the mix. 248-539-9797. It was a very long press conference. There's a lot of things you could have latched onto that may stand out to you, that may have sent you into feeling a certain way. Maybe you were reassured. Yep. Maybe you're reassured because, hey, Steve is sticking to his plan and the Yzer plan, and he knows what he's doing, and we trust Steve. Maybe you got encouragement. Maybe you're different than I am in that way. I felt like we're going to get more of the same old, that this plan is going to stay on its course with no additional urgency, and we'll get there when we get there, damn it, and hold it. You can use the bathroom when we arrive. It kind of had that tone. There was a defiant tone from Yzerman, and you make of that what you will. Let's get to John in Detroit. John, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm looking at my Yzerman signed jersey here. I love the guy. I've loved him for decades. But he is just like the organization. The Illigist, there's no urgency. Where's the Detroit district? Where are all the buildings that were supposed to be there? Where's the neighborhood they were supposed to build? And, you know, Steve's been there for decades as well. I know he left, he came back. But there needs to be more urgency with this hockey team. And they need to take these prospects, start playing them, and show something. Get in the playoffs. It's been too long. It's time to pull the trigger. Just is. And I love the guy. And I think he can do it, but a short leash right now.
Short leash for you, maybe short leash for me. I don't believe that is the belief of the man himself or the organization itself.
And I know the question wasn't asked. Do you expect to make the playoffs?
I would love to hear the answer, but you know what the answer would have been.
Well, okay, but I'm not going to put words in his mouth. The question wasn't asked, so we don't know what the answer is
right now.
We can
tell you what he has previously said.
Yes, but we don't know what that answer would be right now. But, and timing is not great, and maybe not the fault of Steve Yzerman in regards to it being the 100th year, 10 years next year since they've made the playoffs. If there's not a sense of urgency going into this season, then I don't believe that there ever will be. Like if you don't understand what it, and it's not that he doesn't understand. I guess I'm struggling to find the right words because I am frustrated as well, as every fan is.
I think he is too.
Well, I don't doubt that, because he was a competitive player. Do anything to win, competitive player.
A play on a busted up knee, limp through the playoffs.
We're waiting for that sign of do anything to win from the current position that he's in. And we just haven't seen that.
We haven't, and that's the issue, is it needs to be acted on this summer in some way. I think Burchy asked him a question about, hey, seeing Ottawa and Montreal, teams that are maybe more on, have previously been put in your tier of
competitiveness.
Rebuilder, whatever you want to say. Seeing them make the playoffs, does that add, I'm going to butcher what Burchy said, but something, does this put more pressure on you? Does this put you in a position where you need to do more? And he said, or something significant. And he said, yes, but it's easier said than done. So there's always the excuse built in that, well, we'll do the best we can, but you know, if we don't, then you'll just wait a couple more years. Like Kosa, probably not ready for this season. The Wallman explanation was no and no, nothing to see here. Pro scouts learning on the job. Players have more to give. Not that we misevaluated. They just didn't play to what we thought. What if you were wrong? Is that ever an option that you were wrong? No, it's the players haven't lived up to what I signed them to do. Translation, you were wrong.
Well, I think there was a kind of a backdoor admission that when he talked about the short term and the long term, like, you know, and the inference was that some of those long term deals didn't work out. Like, okay, clearly they were wrong on some of those players.
To the phones we go. Jeremy and Wayne. Jeremy, what did you take out of it?
So I am going to go back to the Larkin comments.
okay.
about Heisman. So I did not like how he said we needed to look for a new player, and then not even thinking about the best player available is Dylan Cousins. Like, who is Heisman going to get rid of for Dylan Cousins? He's not a game changer for the Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
So hit Larkin going cold. He finally played 82 games. He went cold for 9 games, didn't even get a point. Yeah. If he was hurt, he shouldn't have played. He should have said he was hurt. He was just taking up a first-line roster spot. That's crazy.
You're right.
I just think Yzerman needs to get rid of his pro scouting department. Signing Justin Hall and Tarasenko was a horrible idea. I just don't think it's all Yzerman's fault when the last 3 years they choked in March. 2 years in a row now they were in a playoff spot. This year they went on a 7-game win streak twice and then decided to go on an 8-game losing streak. So that's my thought on it. I think it's more of a captaincy and a leadership and then Yzerman.
More on Larkin than Steve.
Yes, that's more it for me. I think Yzerman's made some horrible moves, though. I'm not saying he's a saint. Yeah. But
well, I think there's blame to go around, I think is how I would put it. Like, I know I've defended Larkin in that I like that he was vocal about his concerns. I think we are reaching that point where, yes, the players need to have a voice and the captain of the team should be the one to deliver that voice, even if it's unpopular, even if he didn't play his best. But it doesn't let him off the hook because he has to play his best. And Yzerman didn't mince words. I mean, he said, Greg, do we have the cut where he talks about he's got to lift the morale, the players have to lift the morale? We might not have that specific cut. But he says, like, it's his, like, these, he didn't say Larkin by name, but our highest paid players, our best players, it's their job to boost morale. In other words, don't look at me to save you. And I thought McClellan echoed that not only at the deadline, but yesterday. McClellan was shooting from the hip.
I love listening to Todd McClellan talk because it's no nonsense.
Yeah.
And he may filter a little bit, but it's straight to the point.
No, I mean,
no BS.
He was cussing up there and he's talking about leaving points on the table. And he said, this group, when it goes good, it's good. But at the first sign of trouble, they go in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it. He said this team was good enough to make the playoffs. Kind of echoing what Yzerman said, and they didn't. So the blame gets shifted back to the players.
Well, there's enough blame to go around on every level.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see what this team is going to be with a full offseason and a training camp with Todd McClellan. Because I do think that he is... You got to have toughness to be able to develop that toughness, and I'm curious as to where it's going to come from. But if anybody can find it and develop it, it... To me, I believe Tom McClellan will add that to the identity of this team.
We got some open lines. I know Red Wing fans are already, you know, flooding the lines. We'll get to you guys. 248-539-9797. Texter says, not to sound hysterical, do you know who else was defiant after years of failure? Troy Weaver. Laz in Detroit. Leave Steve alone. You guys haven't read the whole book yet. Signed, Brad and Alan Park. It's going to be one of those days, huh? It's 97-1.
Hey. Don't miss your chance to bet all the clutch shots and legendary performances with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win something big. If you don't already have a FanDuel account, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You're going to get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit and make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I think Rieger, who never lets things go, also added, why not?
Yeah.
And the response was, because I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, because I don't want to. Okay, Dad.
Yzerman did have a little of a defiant dad vibe, right? We're like, hey, you eat your vegetables and we're going to get the vacation. We're not taking any more breaks.
Why?
Don't ask why.
Don't ask why.
Don't ask why. Just trust I'm doing this right.
Mm-hmm.
There was a defiance to him. And from a media standpoint, we can play a bunch of audio. There's little subplots, him and Larkin sparring back and forth. Defiant, though, has to translate, right? Defiant has to translate. It has to turn to results sooner rather than later. I thought the entire tone of that press conference was a little bit of him on the defensive, being a little defiant, some probing questions from the media. I think pertinent, fair questions from the media. Rieger's question's fair. If he doesn't want to get into it, fine. He doesn't have to get into it, but no and no was the response given. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Steve in Royal Oak. Steve, you're on 97.1.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. For me, it's kind of where the disconnect is with Yzerman. Since he's been here, the goal has either been to get better or to make the playoffs. And have we really done either one of those in a content basis, so to speak? In the bit about St. Louis and Montreal, well, they didn't do anything and they made the playoffs. Well, we also didn't have a captain on our team that went to Yzerman and said, don't bust this up like they did in Montreal. Granted, their captain players might be a little bit better. And as a group, they hung together. Unfortunately, with Larkin the last couple weeks of the season, at the end of each game during the presser, he looked like a deer in the headlights. So
yeah,
the disconnect, I think, between him, whether it's him and Yzerman or whatever it is, I mean, plus the fact that we just don't have the players to take it to that next level and we're having to wait the patience thing with draft picks and all that, that's all well and good. But how long are we going to wait? And where is the accountability of this all? That's my thoughts. Appreciate you, fellas.
Yeah. I think what's at the center of this is Larkin and Steve Yzerman are kind of behind the scenes. They had a conversation. It's probably not that different than the conversations fans are having with themselves about this, right? Because Larkin is, I think, a little shell-shocked. You mentioned like deer in the headlights look, a lot of losing. It takes his toll. You do worry about the health of the organization when you keep losing. And it's a cry for help is what it is. And you can think less of Larkin as a person, player. It was a cry for help. Whether he was speaking just for himself, a couple guys, or the entire locker room, it's a cry for help. He needs to play better. Your stars need to drive your team. Yzerman is also right. But there needs to be more from both of these men for this team to get to the next level as a hockey team. And he mentions the St. Louis thing. I think a ticket texter puts this so beautifully. Yzerman seemed annoyed and insecure. I don't know why he brought up Montreal and St. Louis. It's just him saying... it says that all it proves is that they're better than you and they didn't need to make a move. Bottom line, two teams since 2017 haven't made the playoffs. It's the Wings and the Sabres, Tony and Macomb. I mean, him bringing it up was him trying to justify
not making a move.
Yeah, but it's him being defiant and defensive. Like, hey, before we get into this press conference, I have a 4-minute prepared statement about how I never said we were making the playoffs. I only said we'd compete, and we did. It's the players' fault that we fell short. Other teams didn't add, and they made it. So I'm trying to take as much heat off of me before we even get into this press conference. Was that not the opening statement?
I understand how you could take it that way, yes. And there's not many other ways that you could take it. I do think he admitted some shortcomings.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of it. So it wasn't like it was only the players. And I like the fact that, because what did we talk about in March? Where were the star players? Where were the offense coming from? Where was the 5-on-5? Where was the defense? And we talk about the goalies, but the best part of, you know, or the best way to help a goalie is to have some defense. Well, and there were so many shortcomings throughout the course of the season, but it was highlighted in March and early April.
So, you know, we all want to see like what changes the organization will make this summer. They did announce that they're switching their goalie coach and their video guy.
Right.
They don't make the playoffs next year. Which concession worker is going to get let go? You know what I mean? Like higher level stuff is, I think, what I'm asking for. And I think fans are asking for at this point.
Yes,
I deserve that one.
Yes,
really, I thought I'd get a few more at this point. 20 minutes into a Red Wing conversation.
Oh, you're doing so well.
Thank you. Ticket Sector says, how would you like to be a player after Yzerman's comments? What kind of leader blames his players?
Well, I didn't see it as player. From somebody that's been in a locker room, I took that as I better step up or they're going to make some changes. You've got to have an introspective look when the season is over. Yes, there are a lot of things that go on as to why a team didn't reach its goal. And for right now, that goal is making the playoffs. You have to look inside and say, what could I have done? And I think Steve Yzerman does that. I don't think he sits there and says, oh, it's everybody else and not me.
No, and I'll tell you this story. It's buddy in Tampa texted me. Yzerman used to be down in Tampa, and this guy covers the Lightning. And he texted me out of the blue last Friday. And he said, hey, you might find this interesting. Steve Yzerman's at, I don't know if it was Friday night, whatever the night, game two of the Tampa-Florida Panthers game. He goes, Steve Yzerman's at this hockey game with a press credential. And normally when he comes back to town, he's chummy and he's chatting people up. He is feverishly writing notes all by himself, locked in, dialed in. Look, if he's going to channel the defiance into, I'm going to work twice as hard, I'm going to leave no stone unturned, I'm doing everything I can, that's the stuff I want to know.
Right.
And we're not always going to know that stuff, but it was just an interesting little look into, maybe he always, you know, scribbles notes feverishly, but he didn't come out in the intermission and chat people up. He was like man on a mission at this playoff game, probably scouting potential free agents. You know, you have pro scouts, but if Steve's going, you know what, they're learning on the job, I need to pick up more slack, I'm going to work twice as hard, that's the stuff I need the defiance to turn into, is,
well,
I'm going to double down on myself and my process, and I'm going to give you the results this city deserves.
And he should, because, yeah, we can talk about the pro scouting, we could talk about the, you know, amateur or college kind of whatever. All arrows point to Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
This is his front office. This is everything is, those were hired by Steve Yzerman. They stay in place or they're removed by Steve Yzerman. But all arrows point to Steve Yzerman. So if he's going to be the guy that's going to take all of the bullets, then he, yeah, you better be boots on the ground.
Yeah, and I don't think he minds taking the bullets. And I don't mind him fighting back to a degree yesterday. Because I side with him on the Larkin thing. I do. The captain of the team shouldn't be saying what he said after the season about needing help and a cry for help. That sounds weak to me.
It is weak, but he's been put in a weak position by his organization.
To a degree, but I also know that I just don't think that's a move by a leader. I don't. And what we have here, the big picture, what we have here right now is the alleged best player on the team, the captain of the team, is sparring back and forth with the general manager and even the head coach to a degree. McClellan called out Larkin 3 to 4 games after the Four Nations.
He didn't respond.
Right, and he didn't. And maybe that I speculated, you guys, when we're talking off the air, maybe the team was, with McClellan and Yzerman, like, well, you should have done more. We saw what you did at the Four Nations, and where's that here?
Yeah.
Well, is that because he's with all these other good players? See, it just comes to the point where it's what everybody points out a lot of times. He's a second line center. That's how he performed. I mean, it's just the truth. And Yzerman's asking them, they paid him top line money, and he didn't give them that. I mean, these are all facts.
I'm not mad at Yzerman barking back at him. I have no issue with the healthy, and that's why I stress it needs to be healthy. They had their private conversation that Yzerman did not want to divulge. I hope that they didn't skirt around anything. I hope they were bearing their souls in that conversation. I hope Larkin told him how he really feels about the roster and didn't couch any of the statements. And I hope Yzerman told him in no uncertain terms how it's going to be. And they need to get on the same page.
Well, that would be the healthiest outcome.
Yeah, there are certain things as a player that you need to be, as a captain, that you need to be able to have and say to your general manager. Other things that are a little bit off limits. So I'm hoping that they respect each other's professionalism and limits, but there are certainly things that need to be said from the team. That's part of wearing that C. And no one should understand that more than Steve Yzerman.
Makes all the sense in the world. We've got open lines. We'll get Heather's news in the mix coming up in the next couple minutes here. We still have time if you want to weigh in, though. How you feel after listening to some of Steve Yzerman. If you watched that press conference live, we carried 20 plus minutes of it live on the station yesterday. I took it as a defiant tone, as a guy who is defensive of the job he's done and believes if they just keep doing it this way, it will work. If that inspired you, great. If you're left wanting more, you can fill in that blank on the phones. 248-539-9797.
Hey, Detroit, it's finally time for baseball and getting back outside, and I've got your drink for the season. Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, made with real brewed tea with summer in mind. And they're a proud partner of the Detroit Tigers. Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar with no bubbles. Their iced tea and lemonade variety packs are so good. And with no carbonation, they're super easy to drink. Just look for Surfside Sunset Stripes, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, sunshine in a can. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Translation. I ripped him a new one. If he wants to tell you about it, that's his business. That's how I took it anyway.
I didn't take it the same way.
No?
No. I mean, I could see how you'd think that, but I think there needs to be a healthy conversation between the two of them. As I mentioned, there needs to be things that, I mean, as a veteran, a guy that's been in the locker room a long time, Patrick Kane can certainly have some of those conversations, but not every guy can go into Steve Yzerman's office and say the type of things that need to be said from the players like a captain can or like a captain should.
Ticket Texter says, I've never felt Larkin should wear the C. He's soft, not a leader. Another one says Larkin is a second or third line center on any of the current playoff teams. Third line is outrageous. That's ridiculous to say. If you want to say he should have played better, I'll join the chorus on that. Red Wings' very public squabbles between leadership and the organization points to chaos. They need to get on the same page. I hope this does get them on the same page. Mm-hmm. For a city that was once called Hockey Town, it's sad to see the former legend and GM afraid to put any expectations out there. He's treating the fan base like we're the Ducks, not an historic Original Six team with high standards. Tony in Florida. Larkin was right. Yzerman not adding at the deadline the last 2 years when they're in a race is inexcusable. Steve is nauseating to hear, kind of like Harbaugh was in interviews. Now, hold on. Harbaugh was
a whole different level of nausea.
Sometimes I felt like Harbaugh would start a sentence and not know how it was going to end.
The similarity is that they were both came home to try to win championships, and it took a way longer than people thought.
Yeah, and I do think there became a point, though, where Harbaugh had to make some really
tough
tweaks.
Well, he went back to his roots. I'm not quite sure if that applies for Yzerman. Also, I'll defend what I said about Larkin earlier, but I will defend Larkin in this. It has got to be awfully difficult to be in his shoes throughout this entire rebuild. I mean, the losing has got to wear on him. This has been going on his entire career here, minus the very first season they appeared in the playoffs, right? And they lost to Boston in 5 games or something like that?
Yeah, I think we all can empathize with Dylan in the respect of grew up here. He loves his team. He's drafted by his team. He gets a taste. He's skating with Henrik Zetterberg, the captain. They're in the playoffs. And you think, wow, what a career we're headed for, only to have to be the guy who goes out after all the losing during the worst of the rebuild and stand up there and take all the arrows. And then you think, well, it's going to get better, right? It's going to get better, right? And it's not significantly better. I know they're winning more now than 2019, but they're still not a playoff team.
But you're sitting there, if you went back on Yzerman's career and at some point it's like, get me some help. This would have been like getting into 91 and 92 and no Lidstrom and Fedorov are coming.
Right.
You know, and in Larkin's shoes, you're kind of like, get me some help from the outside. I just don't think he should have said it publicly.
Oh, that's fair. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Bill in Utica. Bill, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
And go Pistons before we get crazy.
Of course.
Yep, there we go.
So I view it as this way. Chris Illich is not his father. He's not going to spend a lot of money on this team, as you can tell. Second of all, Yzerman is an old school veteran, but he always had a chip on his shoulder when he was the captain. And I know that personally from talking with him. And Dylan Larkin, as the captain now, they both share similar, but again, you said there's no help. I mean, they're not helping Dylan Larkin. He's wasting years and years of his life right here. This is the prime crop of his years, which is just going away. It's just evaporating. He showed what he could do in the Four Nations with a little help. And, you know, that's the problem. He got a little taste and he's like, hey, look, if you just made a deal, if you just gave me a little bit of help, we could get over that edge. And once you get into the playoffs, well, anything can happen in the playoffs. Well,
look at the Pistons, for example. Pistons are an underdog. We rarely see upsets in the NBA playoffs, and here they are fighting tooth and nail. Now, the key is they fight and the Wings don't, but if you get in the playoffs, it shows you you have an opportunity to grow as an organization. I think the Pistons, whether they win this series or not, will have grown as a franchise. If the Wings get in, no, they're not ready to win a Stanley Cup, so Steve's not going to invest in them, but there is worthwhile rewards to getting in the playoffs and getting that experience.
The only pushback I'll have on that other caller is, this is not about spending in hockey.
Agreed.
We can have those discussions. Some of them were put to bed by what they were willing to spend on Bregman in for the Tigers. But in a sport that is governed by a salary cap, they are right there with almost everybody else in what they're spending.
Yeah, they're not $10, $20 million right under the cap. They're within a couple million dollars when the season starts. There's not a lack of financial backing for the roster
right
for this hockey team. That's where I question the easy button of blaming Chris Ilitch. I think the blame is on Steve Yzerman, and I think he knows it, and he's got to work twice as hard, and he has to deliver a winner for this city.
I mean, again, I mentioned all arrows point to Yzerman. Ultimately, all arrows point to the owner. They're the boss. And what did we say about when Sheila took over for the Lions? A lot of things changed. And she is providing the leadership to Brad Holmes, to Dan Campbell, to Chris Spielman, to all of that organization.
It's a good point.
And now we're looking at, we're seeing production, and we saw, okay, they moved on from Alavila and he brings in Scott Harris. Takes a little bit of time, and there was some pains along the way, and we like what we're seeing now from the Tigers. We'd still like them to add a bat. We'll see what they do at the trade deadline. But for the Red Wings, yeah, it's how willing is or how long is ownership going to be patient with Steve Yzerman? That's the bigger question about ownership in terms of the Red Wings, not are you willing to spend?
I'll add no notes. That's perfect. It's one of the first things Valeni and Rico brought up when they dumped out of the press conference is he sounds like a guy with a lifetime contract. That is a question for ownership. Because if you are running the team like you have a lifetime contract, you can keep the rebuild going perpetually. You don't ever have to take a risk at a trade deadline or in free agency, because if it doesn't work, you just get another year to call up a bunch of other young kids. Mm-hmm. And if they don't hit the ground running right away, it's okay. It might take another year for them to get established. And if it doesn't take another year, well, it's on the players for not playing well enough. So we just got to get new players. And I think we're starting to get to that point with Yzerman. I say starting to. Some people are already fed up with him. Mm-hmm. We are getting to the point now where it is on you to put better players on the ice, whether that's tougher players, mentally, physically, winning players, additions in the offseason, additions at the deadline. You got to start doing that stuff, or we are truly going to get stuck in this mediocrity.
And I mean, I'll use another example. And okay, you're in a city where three teams have made the playoffs, and you're the team that's not. Trajan Langdon has been there for a year, and Cade was there before. Some of these players were here before, but he's been able to unlock them by the additions through free agency. And we still have yet to see what they're going to add through the draft, and more years will produce more opportunity. But what are you willing to do in free agency to take what you believe you have in a roster in players and complement them, accentuate what they do well, and find ways to win so that you do make the playoffs, so that you are a contender?
Well said. Nathan and Warren, you're on 97.1.
Morning, gentlemen.
What are you thinking?
Man, I'll tell you what. I watched the entire presser yesterday, and I was seething. I had a lot of issues with what he said, the least of which was the comment that there were no players, there was no moves to be made at the deadline that could have helped this team. Like, does he think that we don't have the internet or a TV? Like, I mean, Dylan Cousins, Brad Marchand, Rantanen, there was two top four defensemen that were moved to the deadline. Any of which of those guys would have helped this team? Don't say that there was no one available to help this team. They were clearly available because they got moved. You just didn't make the move.
And he would tell you, I didn't want to give up my picks and players in those specific circumstances. Now, Rantanen's a unique one. There's only a couple teams he was going to play for. But the rumor was if you wanted Dylan Cousins, you'd have to part with Marco Kasper. I stress rumor. I don't know where it comes from. It may be Steve defense, but I would not have given up Marco Kasper for Dylan Cousins.
Cousins did score the second goal last night for Ottawa, which was a huge goal, putting them up 2-0. The next two goals were empty netters. And Gostisbehere had an assist on the game-winning OT goal for Carolina.
Steve did say they wanted to bring him back. I think he chose to go to Carolina, yeah. And they had to pivot, and they added Gustafson, who just wasn't as good.
Yeah. And Bregman went 3-for-5 last night.
This Breaking guy, up the hits.
This guy.
By the way, Maeda had a clean inning last night. Gave him a chance to win.
Yeah, closer.
I'll play all the hits for you. Yeah. We'll get to Heather's news. We'll take a couple more phone calls. We'll wrap the hour. It's next, 97.1.
Hey, did you wake up this morning and maybe the clothes didn't fit the way you wanted them to, or you avoid being in pictures? Just imagine in 40 days, that could all change. You got to give a shout out to Ideal You. Get in contact with them now because you could lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days with Ideal You. I know the program works because I lost 50 in those 40 days with Ideal You. Book today and Ideal You is going to give you a free body composition analysis. That's $150 value, absolutely free. Here's what you're going to find out. Everything you ever wanted to know, maybe didn't want to know about your body, but you got to if you're going to go on this weight loss journey. How much muscle mass, fat mass, water weight, bone mass, all of that stuff is you're going to see in that stat sheet. You can book a free consultation right now and find out all about it at idealu.us. Ideal You is different than other weight loss companies because it works and it works fast. Lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days and be happy getting into those clothes in the morning or taking those pictures again. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us to get your body composition and analysis. That's $150 value, absolutely free.
We'll get more Red Wing calls in to wrap the hour, but first, Heather, with some news.
Yeah, the Anchor Bay School District has announced that all schools will become cell phone free during the school day starting next year. So in a post on Facebook, the district said that the away for the day policy will go into effect for the 2025-26 school year. And under this new policy, it will require students to put their phones or their devices in their locker or their cubbies at the start of the day, where they're going to remain until the final bell. They must be turned off, stored out of sight. And it's not just phones. It is, you know, if you have a personal laptop, a smartwatch, earbuds, headphones, or other wireless communication devices. And they say the goal is simple, to foster a more focused and interactive educational environment. And I know this has been, a debate, and there's no laws, right?
No, there's no law. It's a trend. A lot of school districts are going this route. I think eventually there will be a law, but I think most districts are headed this way.
I think we're all a little too obsessed with our phones, a lot too obsessed with our phones. Yes. The only pushback I've seen from parents is stuff that can go wrong in schools. They'd safety. Like their kid to have the access to the phone for safety.
Well, a lot of schools still allow them, but they have to stay in your locker.
Yeah, but if I'm going to shut down, lock down in my classroom.
But if I'm in lockdown and the door is locked, they want to have, which I understand. I don't think cell phones should be allowed, but I wouldn't mind them having them and then turning them in each classroom. Carry them with them and say, hey, when you come into my room, you put it in whatever it is. Yep. You put them in these little cubbies or you put them in a box or you put them wherever. But at least then they're
That's
still with them.
Yeah.
But they're not engaging on their phone or whatever. A former Oakland County youth hockey doctor has been sentenced to at least 10 years in prison after being sentenced on Tuesday in connection to years of sexual abuse. 68-year-old Z. Levran was arrested back in 2022, was charged with 28 sexual assault crimes inflicted on young men, teens, and patients in Michigan. Prosecutors believe that there are many more victims, but 13 have come forward. This guy spent more than 20 years providing medical assistance to youth hockey programs in Michigan and Minnesota. Several victims read really emotional impact statements on Tuesday, each saying pretty much the same thing. They have now lost trust in medical professionals and in people in general. Their trust has been shattered. Each of them basically called this guy a monster. He is still facing similar charges in Minnesota. A Troy woman has been reunited with her stolen French bulldog after police initiated the sting operation. So it all started when this woman's dog ran away from home. A woman in the area found the dog and thought, I can find the dog's owner by posting a photo of the dog on Facebook, on social media. So she did that, and somebody reached out and said, hey, that's my dog. And kind of they had some fake evidence, and she said, okay, here you go, gave the dog away. Well, that man, Malik Montley, then took the dog and tried to sell it for a profit on Facebook himself. That's when the original owner, the actual owner, saw that, and she went to police, and they set up this sting. So she, the real owner, messaged the guy and was like, I'll buy that dog. Met him in a location, and police were there watching. When money was exchanged, dog was exchanged, police got him. He is now facing a felony charge. And Fats, the dog?
Fats,
that's the dog's name, is back home with its family. The whole time I was like, what's this dog's name? At the very end of the article, it says Fats is back where he belongs. I like that. Martha Stewart, 83 years old and has accomplished a lot in her life. But there's something she's never done. She's never ordered delivery. Never gotten, I guess, takeout, you could say. So she was on the Kelly Clarkson show, and she left everyone shocked when she made this startling admission.
She's never had pizza?
Like, right.
Delivered that was pizza? Brought up, pizza, and apparently not. She'll go out and eat pizza.
I mean, I understand not saying, you know, F it, let's go to Taco Bell.
Yeah,
that's not
that
at the top of the list.
I understand not paying like a delivery fee, but picking up and taking it home.
She wants to eat fresh, or she wants to make it herself, or she doesn't want to eat. She said she's either going to go out or she's not going
to
eat.
Maybe that's the key to being a smoke show, as
smoke
you put
show. 83-year-old smoke
on.
Show.
You're really going to go down that road again? God, what? You
got
to be
good,
kidding
guys.
Me.
83. She's 83 years old.
Okay, she looks good for 83. Smoke show is
she's
not how I would describe her. 83-year-old
smoke show.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's Heather with the news. Thanks, Heather.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.